FNR, Football Nation Radio. The Road to Russia with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Road to Russia here on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Adriano Del Monte back here with you this week. George Danikian doing a very good job last week. I was away in New York City, but very good to be back with you all here this afternoon. Of course, the World Cup draw took place about 10 days ago now. We'll continue our analysis of that. I'd like to talk about it because I really haven't had a chance to do so. We'll focus on the Socceroos with a guest joining us on the line, as always, to dissect all of that very shortly. Some news coming out of Russia as well. Ticket sales going through the roof. So if you're interested to get there in 2018, you need to start lodging your applications now because time is running out. There are applications thick and thin going through. A very exciting time of year. We'll analyse some of the nations who are there. There have been a few very exclusive and very interesting interviews on the FIFA website, particularly one with Neymar and Brazil as they set their sights on a sixth FIFA World Cup. We'll also have a look at some of those big nations who won't be there as the fallout from their disastrous runs continue. So plenty to get through. Before we get our guests on the line to talk Socceroos, as was the case yesterday on the Euro show, for the first time, I'd like to welcome to the Road to Russia show, Rick D'Andrea. Rick, welcome into the studio on this Tuesday afternoon.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Great to be here and great, and thank you for calling me back.
My absolute pleasure. A wonderful job yesterday. Looking forward to talking World Cup action with you, of course. Before we get into World Cup action right around the world, let's start very close to home. And as we always do on a Tuesday afternoon, we kickstart our program with Sasha Pezzani from Omnisport. Sasha, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, and welcome back to sunny Melbourne.
Very sunny indeed. It's good that I missed some rain that took place here, but it's good to be back, and it's good to be talking Socceroos because not much going on, but still an exciting time because there are a few unknowns in the Socceroos camp. And, of course, the big one is the coaching situation. What is going on? I've been away for the last 10 days. Can you update us all on where we are at? Is there a replacement? I've seen many names rumoured and reported across all platforms, but where are we at with the latest in the coaching situation?
Well, there's still no coach, but there's one thing we do know. There's a selection panel. So we've got, you know, Bresciano, Lazaridis and Schwartz that have a big decision to make coming into 2018 in the World Cup. A whole list of names have been linked. So it should really take your pick at the moment and who sort of fits best. I know Arnold has been linked heavily from day one when Ange left, but we've seen a lot of, you know, Klinsmann, Carlos Queiroz, Eriksen, Bielsa, you name it, they've been linked. So some interesting times ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting that panel utilised there to decide the next manager. Is it the right way? Is it something which we feel will be of benefit, the likes of Bresciano and Lazaridis involved in that, or would we rather see the Federation making the decision?
That's a good question. The one thing I will say, that when you got former Socceroos like that, they know the inner sanctum, they know what it takes to be the World Cup and, you know, going through their sort of grueling World Cup campaign. So I guess they know what's needed. I'm sure the FA will have a big say as well. There's a few other members part of that panel. But, yeah, it's going to be a really big call. You know, do we just bring in someone for the interim to take over the World Cup and then, you know, bring someone in for the longer term? Time will tell.
Yeah, so that is going to be the debate, obviously. And any of our listeners out there, if you'd like to get involved in the conversation and share your thoughts on who you think will be the best next Socceroos coach, whether it be for a temporary basis or for the long-term future, give us a call, 99 99 99 99. Sasha Pezzani on the line, joining us, talking all things Socceroos. What is your take on that? Do you feel that we're better off appointing someone for the short to mid-term, or do you think we're better off going all out, despite the fact that we are up against it in terms of time and really, yes, focusing on the 2018 World Cup, but one eye onto the future as well?
Yeah, I spoke about this with George last week. There's one name, I think, that hasn't really been mentioned. I know he has a senior role before, but you look at Ante Milicic. You know, if we're talking about, you know, continuing on the path that Ange sort of set, you look at someone like him who knows how we play and knows the plays inside out. If you want to stick down that path and play that same sort of football, you compare him to someone like an Arnold, who would probably change pretty much everything the way Australia play. So it's just up to the FFA about what they want to do in terms of style. I think given, you know, it's been a 4 or 5 years with Ange, be risky to sort of rip it up now going into a World Cup and, you know, facing the likes of France and all that. So maybe it'd be good to look at someone like, you know, Ante Milicic. I know he's not a big name, but he does know the soccer as well. I know the former Serbia coach, Muslin, who was sacked, apparently he's a in Australia, he's been contacted by the FFA. He's guided Serbia to the World Cup. He's another name mentioned. But, it's up to the FFA if they want to continue on the same path that Ange put down. So,
Very interesting time in Australian football, no doubt. I'm sure you would have discussed it last week with George right after the World Cup draw, of course. But just your thoughts very quickly on that group, Peru, Denmark and the French, of course. The French very likely will top that group, and you'd imagine, from a neutral perspective, quite comfortably. But were you pleased with the results of the draw?
It could have been a lot worse. I know if you love your rankings and your stats, it's quite tough looking at the rankings of Peru and Denmark. And no disrespect to them, they're you know, the two quality nations and sides. You know, looking at the Denmark's result against Ireland and Peru in South America and their recent performances at Copa America, they're two really good sides. But I think it could have been a lot worse for Australia. So I think they'll fancy their chances. You know, on their day, I think, you know, Australia have proved that 2014 World Cup and the Confederations Cup against the big sides on the big occasion, they do perform. So if they bring their A game and the coaching situation sorted out, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Socceroos, you know, advance to the knockout phase.
If you have 6 months to go and to work out what the scores will be for the three games involving the Socceroos, Sasha, where do you think Australia will go, and how do you think they will win, lose or draw against those three teams?
Well, the good thing is, you know, their first game is based, it's going to be based, their training base anyway, so there's not much travel there against France. You know, that that'd be the result in that game would be a bonus, obviously, against the French. You know, their depth in the squad is just is frightening. They're probably one of the favourites to win the tournament. So, if they manage to get a point in there, you'd be laughing. But you know, against Denmark and Peru, you know, Peru's missing their all-time leading scorer and captain, which is a bonus. And Denmark rely heavily on Christian Eriksen. So if you can nullify his sort of impact and involvement, go a long way to stopping Denmark. But, you know, they're two quality sides. So it just really depends on, you know, injuries leading up to the tournament, who's going to be there, who's going to coach the soccer, which is a big one.
Yeah, no doubt. And you did mention there the Peru star, Paulo Guerrero, who has been banned for 12 months from football after a drug ban for cocaine. So bad news for him and Peru. Good news for the other teams in that group, because he is their superstar man, their top goal scorer of all time. But he has maintained his innocence, saying that he'll do all he can to clear himself and hopefully overturn and appeal that decision. So an interesting one to keep an eye on. But you're very right in saying that, Sasha. The rankings are one thing. Need to pay respect to these nations, but it could have certainly been a lot worse for the Socceroos. So all nations there, they've deserved their spot there in the FIFA World Cup, but certainly an opportunity to do something at this World Cup. And it's a very exciting time, as I said, for Australian football. But before we start getting excited, the coaching situation certainly needs to be rectified. Now, onto some of the players. The one which I didn't catch much news of in New York City was the Tim Cahill saga. What's the latest with Cahill? Any idea as to where we will be seeing him next?
He could be end up anywhere, as he said himself. But I think, you know, there's one thing we do know about Timmy, is that, you know, he plans ahead. So I'm sure that he would have made this decision with something already lined up post-City, whether that's in, you know, the UAE or Asia, or even, you know, I've seen he's been linked with joining Popovich in Turkey. So he could really end up anywhere. The most important thing is he needs minutes. You know, at his age, 38 years old, going into a World Cup, and they can't afford to be sitting on the bench. So, yeah, like I said, like the coach situation, this situation here is interesting as well. So, it's going to be interesting where he ends up.
Do you think an international coach, if chosen, will risk taking Tim Cahill to the World Cup, considering his age and considering the lack of minutes he's had over the last 18 months?
You know, there's no doubting, you know, Cahill's, you know, impact and performances for the Socceroos. You know, look at his two goals against Syria. You know, we've done it time and time again, but, you know, selection should be, you know, based on you know, performances and, you know, playing time. And if he's not playing, I know he's a legend of the game, but he needs to be playing to be on that plane to Russia, that's for sure.
Absolutely. It's going to be an interesting one, no doubt. Sasha, super work as always. Hopefully there's a bit more Socceroos news to get through next Tuesday on the road to Russia. But again, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure. Have a good one.
Sasha Pizzani there joining us from Omnisport. Another great insight into the Socceroos. Some of the players were in action at the weekend. Just quickly before we get to a break, Moy and Ryan, they met each other in the Premier League. Great to see two Aussies at the highest level of English football doing their thing. Robbie Kruse, he scored the winner for his club in Germany as well. So, as I said, a very exciting time, particularly with some of these players playing at the higher levels in Europe and doing wonderful things. But it is going to be, this is going to be all the talk in the lead-up. The coaching saga, where does it end? Cahill, does he go, does he not go? You made a great point there, Rick, in the fact that we don't know who's going to coach his side. Whoever comes in to coach, he may have different philosophies on whether Cahill should play. And as Sasha's correctly said, if the performances aren't there, irrespective of his wonderful record, he may not go. For me, he certainly goes to the World Cup. Cahill
Agreed.
Must go to the
Agreed.
World Cup. But who knows? The new coach comes in. Stranger things have happened in world football. We can't be sure until we know who the new manager is.
And if it is a local manager or someone who wants to sort of have more a 3 to a 5 year plan, they may actually not take Cahill because he may not be in the 2022 calculations at 42 years old. So why would he be exposed for the next 6 months? Why wouldn't he take someone who's a 19, 20, 21-year-old, maybe even a 22-year-old who is going to be there for the long haul over the next few years?
Yeah, that's right. We'd love to see Cahill at the World Cup. And again, I really do feel that he will be there, but we will need to see. Time will tell. There, just quickly before we get to a break, Rick, your thoughts on the group very quickly. Again, we've said very high rankings-wise, both Peru and Denmark, obviously, along with the French side. The Socceroos very clearly the lowest-ranked nation there. But again, it could have been a lot worse.
Could have been a lot worse. You're absolutely right. France, I think, have already got this locked up. You can't doubt that depth. It's way too good. I mean, the French team are going to have trouble even narrowing it down to their 23 for the final World Cup. So good luck to them. They will almost be top two, if not guaranteed first spot. Let's not doubt that. Peru and Denmark, they both had to come through the group the playoff stage. It is a tough choice. Denmark, do not write off. That team is full of quality. We will discuss this a little bit later on, but you cannot be saying now that Denmark won't be there and will not be challenging. They are a very, very, very technical side, very difficult, very physical. Good luck to the Socceroos when they do have to play them, and it will be a very tough game.
Absolutely. Well, we're off to a very quick break here on the road to Russia. We'll continue our discussion of the Socceroos with a bit of a focus on some of their opponents as well. A bit more on the World Cup draw still to come, and some very interesting exclusive interviews thanks to FIFA.com on some of the big nations who will be there in Russia. Plenty more to come. Stick around. We'll be back very shortly.
FNR, Football Nation Radio. The Road to Russia with Adriano Del Monte on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Road to Russia here on FNR, Football Nation Radio, your voice of football throughout Australia. Adriano Del Monte and Rick D'Andrea here with you in the FNR studios. Rick, when I arrived at the FNR studios a couple of hours ago, you were enjoying a coffee and a panettone. It's that time of year, Christmas time, of course, everyone's favourite time of year. And a special today on the Road to Russia, and I think in the lead up to Christmas as well, we're giving away to our best caller or tweeter or any way you'd like to get in touch with us, a traditional premium-packed panettone from our great friends at Ital. All you have to do is give us a call, send us a tweet, we'll pick one of them, and you will win a delicious panettone. Rick has a couple in front of him right now, very happy with himself. Give us a call at any stage, 9944 9999. Share your thoughts, win a panettone, celebrate Christmas in style. Let's continue with the Socceroos group at the World Cup. Rick, now I want to focus on Peru very quickly because their manager is an Argentinian, Ricardo Gareca. Now, he was actually the man who eliminated Peru from qualifying for the Mexico World Cup many years ago in 86. And he is now the man who has also led Peru to their first World Cup in a very long time, 36 years. He has come out and said that he expects his side to boss matches at the World Cup. Now, I don't think he's referring to the French.
No.
Because that's going to be very hard. We've said that the French will find it very difficult to field their 23, given the fact that they have about 50 players who could play for them at the World Cup and do a very good job. But You feel that after a very... Look, 2-0, not convincing on the score sheet, but convincing in the performance that it was over 180 minutes against New Zealand. You feel that Peru, getting through that very difficult South American qualifying, will be very, very confident that they can join the French in the round of 16.
And all you need to do is just be able to park the bus in a one respect, but also be very physical on the ball. If you can, if Peru can bully the Socceroos off the ball, why couldn't they put a through pass through to one of their strikers who could score? That's where, you know, the Socceroos could be caught out if on the counter, especially. So I won't doubt Gareca's words. He's done that before. He has World Cup experience. Why wouldn't he be able to deliver Peru through to a round of 16?
I think the Australian move into the Asian region. Now, the way the Asian teams play their football is very different, as is everywhere in the world. It's all very different. But the way the South Americans play football, along with, I think, the Africans, can be quite sporadic and quite different. This is where I feel Peru have the edge, because Peru, Denmark, a very well-established European side. Again, we're not even talking about the French just yet. But the Socceroos, they've got a way of playing. Peru, they've got a way of playing. Denmark also. But Peru, the X factor that Peru have, yes, they'll be without their star man and their top goal scorer for now, who, as I mentioned a little earlier, has had his ban for drugs confirmed for 12 months. Terrible blow for he and the country. But the way that they play, I feel, will hold them in good stead, and they will be the favourites to finish second for me.
Yeah, I do agree with that. There is a little bit of a me that says maybe, maybe not, but I'm not going to discount Peru. You cannot. How do you? Mm. I mean, they had to work so hard to get to the qualification stage, considering that the four nations are qualified from South America, and they were obviously the fifth.
They knocked out Chile.
Chile, the two-time Copa America champions.
Right. That's right. They finished above Chile. It was very, very tight. It's one of the more exciting qualification campaigns you will see. But Peru are there, and they're there for a reason. They deserve to be there. As for their fixturing, now it's an interesting way that the fixture has unfolded. People have divided opinions on this. Do you rather play the top side on the opening day, or would you rather play the top side on the final day when very likely the French will already be through? Now, Denmark have got that draw where they play the French on the final day, meaning should France take six from their first two, which they very likely will, perhaps they'll field a slightly weaker side. Again, a slightly weaker French side will still beat most sides in world football. But the fact of the matter is Peru played Denmark on the opening day. Now, just as the Socceroos here are hopeful of, well, if we get a decent performance and result against the French, that'll hold us in good stead. Well, I'll tell you what, if Peru beat Denmark, or vice versa, of course, but with the focus on Peru, if Peru beat Denmark on the opening day, well, all of a sudden, it's backs against the walls for everyone else here, because Australia-Peru is the final game. Now, if Peru already have 3 points after one match, I don't recall the percentages off the top of my head, but it is over an 80% figure that I recall seeing in the 2014 World Cup, that 3 points opening day, you go through.
You also have to imagine, remember Costa Rica 4 years ago when it was in that group of death with Italy, England and Uruguay?
I do.
We watched it together that stage, if I'm not mistaken, and we were both saying to ourselves, how on earth are Italy or Uruguay going to qualify? Mm. They did drop points in their opening game. Costa Rica did surprise England and get the win, and all of a sudden they qualified and Italy went home.
They did. They went home. And that's what happens. This is a very interesting group. We're going to keep a close eye on it. Now, the Socceroos have released a couple of articles on their website. Three key players to focus on for these two nations, Peru and Denmark. Now, Peru, Jefferson Farfan is one. A four-time winner of the Eredivisie title with PSV. So they've got some experience there. They're not one, two-man bands. They've got some experience in their sides. Farfan now plays in Russia for Lokomotiv Moscow, who, of course, are in the Europa League. Scored 23 goals for the national team, scored in a playoff win. Wealth of experience in the Peru squad. Andre Carrillo is another one, a young attacker. Plays for Watford in the Premier League. Dangerous player inside the box. They've got options. He's played with Sporting Lisbon previously. Great experience. They are 10th in the world. Look, I don't like the FIFA rankings. I've made it clear many times. But the fact of the matter is they are 10th in the world and they do have some players. The other player that the Socceroos mentioned was Guerrero. Obviously, that doping violation, he will miss out for the time being, although he does maintain his innocence. But for me, I did watch Peru very closely against New Zealand, and while Denmark are a very stable and solid European team, I think the X factor that Peru offer and the different way the South Americans play their football, I feel Peru will be the team to beat for the second place in this group joining France in the round of 16. Now, Denmark are the other nation, of course. Now, we've got the Denmark squad here open. Now, I'm not pointing any fingers, Rick, at anyone, anywhere, but there is one too many people that I've come across online and in the media suggesting that the fact that Peru have lost their captain and all-time leading goal scorer means now that it is a race in two between the Socceroos and Denmark to take second place. I don't buy that.
Absolutely
I really
not.
Don't buy that. Respectfully, I don't buy that. Obviously, we hope the Socceroos finish top.
Agreed.
Realistically, it won't happen.
No.
So the race for second will be between the remaining three sides, yes. But just look at the Denmark squad. Have you got the Denmark squad and you've had a
look? I have it in front of me. And if we exclude Christian Eriksen, everybody knows who he is. We know what the work he can do. We know how he got Denmark through to the World Cup with the hat-trick against Ireland. In
Stunning
the
hat-trick.
We can't deny that. We won't deny it. We know what he can do when he has Dele Alli at his fingertips and he has, you know, Harry Kane getting through balls threaded to him left, right and centre. Let's not exclude that. You look at that team. Kasper Schmeichel in goals. We know what he's done. He's won a Premier League title. There's your first one. Simon Kjær. He's had experiences all over the world. In Italy with Roma, your team, Adrian, with Palermo. He's played at Wolfsburg, so he knows what he's doing in defence. I mean, who's the other one that I know? Andreas Christensen, the right back. He's had wealth of experience as well. Nikola Jorgensen, who is the centre forward at Feyenoord, you know, where he won Absolutely. Many titles in the Eredivisie.
Absolutely. I think with this side, all you need to do is look at the clubs at which they play, because the clubs at which they play normally gives you an indication of where they're at. One player who is very underrated but very, very talented defender is Vestergaard, Borussia Mönchengladbach. Only the 15 caps for his national team at this stage, but they have a number of very, very talented players in that squad. A striker from Leipzig in Poulsen, Andreas Cornelius, who plays for the very impressive Atalanta in Italy. They have experience right across the board. Some of the other clubs represented, Werder Bremen, Bordeaux, Ajax, Chelsea, Udinese, Sevilla. So there is a good spread of players in this Danish squad, and they must be respected because, again, for a Socceroos team without a coach at the moment, there is a lot of work still to do before we can confidently say, well, we're going to go to Russia and on the 21st of June in the match against Denmark, we will win. We should be confident, but realistically, there is a lot of work to do to take those 3 points.
Absolutely agreed. And the other player that we've all sort of mentioned but haven't mentioned in this conversation is Nicholas Bentner. Now, he's played all... The Lord himself. You know, we know what he's like as a social media meme generating, you know, headline act, you could call him. So why would you want to discount him? I mean, all you need to do is pop up once or twice and there's your qualification through to the next round, and he can do that sort of stuff.
Look, I think from the players' perspective, the respect will certainly be there. The players understand where they're at. They'll be realistic. I just think from an Australian perspective, what we need to do is really understand this. Understand the fact that Denmark and Peru are very, very credible, solid nations in football. We can't expect as fans, as media personalities and whatever we are, that we are going to go there and get to this group, because we need to understand that Australian football at the present time has got some work to do to mix it with the very best. Taking some points out of this group would be a great result. I'm not saying that I'd be content should the Socceroos go over there and lose each game 1-0 and 3 honourable defeats. No, we don't want that. But we should not set lofty expectations on ourselves that we're going to go to Russia and get through this group. Getting through this group would be a magnificent achievement. We should be confident and try our best to do so. But I think from the public, obviously we have a lot of fans new to the game. I think they need to be informed that realistically we will not be getting through this group and that Peru and Denmark must be respected, as I'm sure the players and coaching staff will.
And the other one that I think we also need to mention is, even though we've said that he's stratospherically above everybody else, is Eriksen. Will Mila Jirinek be back? Will Mark Milligan be fit enough and confident enough in his body to be able to handle him? And we know exactly what he can do. It's whether we have the cattle on the park that will be able to shut him down. And it seems to me at the moment we may not. It'll be Certainly. Very tough. It'll be very, very tough.
Very tough. Need to be full of respect. And I'm sure they will, but I'd like the fans and everyone who supports the Socceroos right around the world to support the side and get around the fact that we should hope for the best but don't expect the best, because Correct. There's a lot of work to do against some of the very best nations in world football. Now, elsewhere, there's some World Cup news, as always, floating around. I mentioned earlier the ticket sales. Now, if you're interested in getting to the World Cup and haven't lodged an application for tickets or don't have any other means to achieving the tickets for the World Cup, get onto it immediately because they are selling very, very quickly. 1.3 million plus tickets were requested in 24 hours a few days ago. And incredibly, or not incredibly, but from all over the world, one of the countries who have accounted for the most of those applications, surprisingly the USA, despite the fact that they're not even there, but tickets from all over the world being snapped up, fans from Argentina, Peru, Mexico, USA, Colombia, and Brazil amongst the those interested on the in terms of the percentages of tickets. But as I said, get involved as soon as possible because the tickets are going very, very fast. And if you want to see the Socceroos in action or whichever nation you are looking to support, get online on FIFA and get onto that. Also, as well, the FIFA fan IDs are starting to be distributed. So the FIFA fan ID basically allows you access into the country. I think it avoids any form of visas in Russia, and it also gives you free public transport and makes life very easy getting around Russia. So again, check online all the terms and conditions. Don't quote me on any of that, but I've had my experiences at the previous two FIFA World Cups, and that is certainly a very, very good initiative by Russia and FIFA. Now, elsewhere, I said that we wanted to have a quick chat about the other groups because obviously the World Cup draw took place now. It was 10 days ago. I wasn't here. I wasn't able to share some thoughts on that, Rick. But I just want to quickly go through the groups and just a word between us on each of them. So we've obviously covered Group C, French, Australia, Peru, and Denmark. But let's go to the top. We'll go to Group A, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. Now, with all due respect, this group is not
the most difficult.
Not the most difficult I've ever seen. No. Nor is this group a credible World Cup group. I'm trying to be as respectful as possible here, but never in World Cup history have the two lowest ranked nations been in the same group at the World Cup, for obvious reasons, because that's impossible.
Oh, I was going to say, it could be a very big attacking frenzy in terms of goals. You've got Mo Salah for Egypt, you've got Luis Suarez and everybody else at Uruguay who can score left, right and centre. You've got the Russians at home. Why couldn't we see, say, 30 goals between the games and the four teams?
It could be a very exciting group, make no mistake about that. But the fact that the Russians and Saudi Arabia side will open the World Cup, that is underwhelming.
It is underwhelming.
You have the 65th and 66th ranked sides opening a FIFA World Cup. It is time for me. I was calling it before the draw, but I feel that the host nation of the World Cup, so for those that don't know, Russia were the very first nation that were the lowest ranked nation to host the World Cup. That will obviously happen again in 2022 because very likely Qatar will be the lowest ranked nation at their World Cup. That's fine. I've got no issues with that whatsoever because I'm all for the growth and the spread of football and the sport. But what I'm not okay with is the fact that Russia are a pot one side for hosting. I feel that Russia should be in Group A. I feel that Russia should have every right to open the World Cup, but they should not be allocated in pot one. Russia, as lowly ranked as they were, they should have been in pot four, and they could have certainly opened the World Cup against whoever they were drawn against, but not in pot one. As a result, Spain, of course, the 2010 World Cup champions, were in pot two, and they've been drawn into, obviously, a difficult group with a difficult opponent, and that's not the way that these World Cups should unfold. But rules are rules. Saudi Arabia will be the first ever Asian team to play in the World Cup curtain raiser when they face Russia on June 14. Group B, it is that Spain group. Not too hard in the end, but Portugal, Spain and Morocco, geographically very, very close.
It is like an Iberian coast derby, you could say.
Absolutely amazing. And they're joined by Iran. You'd imagine that the two heavyweights, Portugal and Spain, of course, Portugal, the reigning European champion, Spain, the 2010 World Cup champions, to meet. So the previous two European champions in Group B, Group C, we've discussed. Group D, unfortunately for Nigeria, but Argentina again. That's three World Cups in a row. Argentina, Nigeria, Iceland and Croatia. Great to see Iceland. What a tough ask for them, though. Their first World Cup and Lionel Messi is their opposition. Lionel Messi and Argentina, their opponents for their very first FIFA World Cup game. That will be a fascinating encounter.
That midfield that Croatia have with Mario Mandzukic leading the line against that Argentinian defence, I don't trust it at all, but that strike force. If it's Icardi, Higuain, Pastore, Messi, whoever it happens to be, there could be many, 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 many goals in that one.
Looking forward to that group. Group E, Brazil, Switzerland, Costa Rica and Serbia. unfortunate for Costa Rica. They were drawn into what was the group of death 4 years ago. They incredibly topped that group ahead of Uruguay, Italy and England. But this time, Brazil, Switzerland and Serbia. Look, they could match it with Serbia, but Switzerland, one of the best sides in Europe, no doubt. And Brazil, well, they're the favourites for me, and I really feel that they will win the World Cup. So an interesting group there. And surprisingly, they are drawn with Group F. So Brazil and Germany in corresponding groups there. So should Brazil or Germany slip up, potentially, I'm not tipping this will happen, but potentially there could be a round of 16 clash between Brazil and Germany. Of course, a repeat of the 2002 World Cup final in Japan, South Korea. Group F, Germany, Mexico, Sweden, Korea Republic. Interesting. Mexico, Korea and Sweden, who of course knocked out the Italians. You'd imagine that Germany will top that group. I'd tip Mexico to go through, but Sweden and Korea Republic will have something to say about that.
Sweden could actually do what they did to Italy and just park the bus for 90 minutes in the second leg like they did. I'm not going to call it. I think that's almost as tough as Group C. You've got one clear leader and then you've got three teams that could potentially make it through. Obviously, South Korea would probably be the weaker of the three teams, you would think, but I'm not going to be one who will exclude them because they do have a lot of pace and they do have, you know, Son from Tottenham on that team that could actually finish off a few goals. Germany, Brazil, as you were just saying, it could be another World Cup semi-final repeat and we have a 7-1 game. I wouldn't like to say that again, and I know a lot of Brazilian fans and don't want to hear that again, but it could very well happen if one does slip up.
I purposely referred to that potential matchup as a repeat of the 2002 World Cup final because we have many Brazilian fans around the world who tune in to the Road to Russia on FNR Football Nation Radio, and I did not want to remind them of that, but thank you, Rick. Group G and Group H, the final two groups. Now, Group G, Belgium, England, Panama and Tunisia. A very soft draw.
Very.
With all due respect, but Belgium, England and Tunisia, this is an interesting stat, all went unbeaten in their respective qualifying campaigns. So three teams, all unbeaten. They're in a group along with Panama, the second debutants with Iceland in the 2018 World Cup finals. And they are paired in the corresponding group, Group H. Poland, the seeded side with Senegal, Colombia and Japan. Look, while not the strongest group on paper, a fascinating one because four very different nations, four different confederations, contrasting styles. You'd have to tip Poland to go through. But look, Colombia, Senegal and Japan certainly will have a point to prove and have done very well in their respective confederations. Colombia obviously got through in the end in that very difficult South American campaign. Japan, arguably the best side in Asia at the present time. And Senegal, back in the World Cup for the first time in some time, will be looking to cause some damage, like they did in 2002 when they beat the French in the opening match of the tournament. The French were, of course, the defending champions there. So
1-0.
They did, 1-0. Very, very interesting with an iconic celebration when they won that game as well. So very exciting time indeed. We'll have plenty more and we'll look in depth into these nations in the coming weeks right here on The Road to Russia. For now, though, we need to get to a break. On the other side, we bring you an exclusive interview with Neymar. Thanks to FIFA.com. We'll discuss that and our thoughts on Brazil, and we'll also bring you the wash-up from some of the big nations who won't be there in 2018. You are listening to The Road to Russia with Adriano Del Monte and Rick D'Andrea on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
FNR Football Nation Radio. The Road to Russia with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back again to the Road to Russia here on FNR Football Nation Radio. Adriano and Rick here with you in the studio. We've got some people very keen to win their panettone with a few texts coming through. Who do you think will win the World Cup was a text that came through with no name. So I'm sorry, I don't know who you are, but we have your number. It's a great question. And so far, leading the race for the Ital panettone. If you'd like to win an Ital panettone, give us a call, 9944 9999. You can also text us 0428 9333 45. In answer to your question, who do I think will win the FIFA World Cup? At this stage, I will tip Brazil. I feel that Brazil have come a long way since 2014. Their squad is a lot stronger than 2014. And I just don't think that the other nations who are up there and certainly in with a chance are as strong as them at the present time. So I don't feel Germany will back it up, although they will certainly be there or thereabouts. Argentina obviously have their own issues, but if Messi wins, it would not surprise me. But they just have one too many issues in midfield and certainly in defence, which has always been the case in Messi's time. And the others, the French, yeah, the French will be there, but I don't think the French, I just think they're a little too young. Brazil are primed and they are ready to go and will be very determined to bounce back from what in the end was a very disappointing World Cup in their country where they finished fourth in 2014. That leads the way nicely to this interview I mentioned on FIFA.com. Check it out, a very interesting interview with the superstar Neymar. I'm not sure if he's the captain at the moment. He was the captain, then he relinquished the captaincy, and then Brazil went on this run where they had a different captain every couple of games for many, many games. But nevertheless, he's certainly their star man, and whether he's wearing the armband or not won't matter. But he's come out and said, as part of this lengthy interview with FIFA.com, that I think this World Cup is going to be huge for Brazilians. He's very right in saying that. Personally, I'm going to give everything I've got to win it. I'll tell you what, Rick, I just feel that after his move from Barcelona to PSG, he certainly, and all of the Brazilians, I feel, they love their country more than anyone else in the world. The passion that you see with the Brazilians when they go back to return to their country is as strong as any other country in the world. There was actually a fascinating interview that was released with one of the British broadcasters recently, and a couple of the England legends in their golden generation, the likes of Lampard, Gerrard, and Rio Ferdinand, were on the panel. And the English players actually came out and said that they had certainly a gifted decade of players in the early 2000s, of course, but they came out and said that the reason they feel that they weren't successful, or the reason they feel they didn't maximise their potential, was because they didn't really get along with one another.
Okay.
They were a Manchester United player, so they sat at the Manchester United table. They were a Chelsea player, they sat at the Chelsea table. Liverpool, Arsenal, etc., etc. Whereas the Brazilians, you see it when they play against one another, you see it when they're on the same team. They really are one. And I feel for this reason that after the disappointment and embarrassment that was the 2014 World Cup in their own country, which they should have won, they have a point to prove.
They absolutely do have a point to prove. And yes, you are right in the sense that the Brazilian players have now started to play a little bit more together. So we're referring to Neymar, Marquinhos, and Dani Alves being the three at PSG in that
Thiago Silva as well, Lucas,
yes. So there is that crop there that have come through together. But on your point that you were saying about the golden generation with England, what about with Spain, with the Barcelona Real Madrid link? They've managed to though bring it together and win two European titles and a World Cup.
Absolutely.
Having
said that though, that's why Spain never won a World Cup. Spain and the Dutch were always the best nations that had never won a World Cup. Spain, particularly with the gifted players that they've always had, the fact that it took them until 2010 to win a World Cup is baffling. But the Barcelona-Real Madrid rivalry is so big that club over country in that case, and it was obviously very similar in England, whereas in those South American nations, particularly Brazil, even if, okay, there's five of them at PSG, but doesn't matter where they play. They come together. They could play for Inter and Milan. They could play for Barca and Madrid. They could play for Roma and Lazio. They could play for Everton and Liverpool. But when they come together in the Brazil camp,
They are one. Oh,
they
absolutely
are one, irrespective
agreed
of where they
agreed
play.
Agreed. Like you did say, they will have a big point to prove. That 2014 World Cup semi-final loss, that will be hurting them. Getting rid of Dunga and bringing in Tite has been an absolute godsend for them. Reshuffling that lineup that they had, it's worked miracles. It actually
absolutely
has. I won't say they're favourites in my book to win it. I still think the French are very, very good things, but I will not discount Brazil. Absolutely not.
You certainly can't. Check out the interview. It's a very interesting one on FIFA.com. But the final question is, finally, can you finish off this sentence? In 2018, Neymar will. And Neymar responded by laughing and saying, in 2018, Neymar will be very happy at the World Cup. So confidence is there.
He has to just control his disciplinary issues. That's his big thing. If he can get that under control, maybe only pick up one yellow card in the group stage, he could go a very long way and not sit on the pint and actually do a lot of damage.
I really, really think he will. I think that Neymar will, in the Brazilian squad, he's as happy as he is, and I think he will be content, happy, and smart about his behaviour and actions on the pitch. Now, their rivals, Argentina, of course. You'd imagine this will be Messi's last chance at a serious crack at a World Cup. He could be there in 22, but at the peak of his powers, this is certainly the last chance. He will need a lot of support. He got them there single-handedly, but if they're going to win, he's going to need support around him. The likes of some of that you mentioned, but the likes of Aguero, Dybala, Icardi, they're world class.
Agreed.
They need to fire. They need to score. The midfield needs to step up. The defense needs to step up. They need players around him fit and firing. Lucas Biglio plays at AC Milan. He's worn the armband at times when Messi hasn't been there. These players need to be at their absolute best if Lionel Messi is to ultimately achieve the Holy Grail in world football. Messi has come out, and surprising to some, suggested that he'd like to see Gonzalo Higuain return. Now, I didn't mention Higuain in those lists of world-class strikers because he was omitted from the Argentina squad. It's surprising to some because, while he is a wonderful player, obviously there are three individual clear-cut chances which denied Messi an international tournament trophy. Obviously, the 2014 World Cup final and the two recent Copa America defeats to Chile. Higuain is world-class, there's no doubt about that, but does it make sense to bring him back in with all of those other talented stars, as I mentioned?
It's a tough call. I mean, how could you not bring in Higuain? He did cost 90 million euro to go across from Napoli to Juventus. We know what his record was at Napoli. We can see what he has been doing at Juventus. You've named some absolutely top-class, top-shelf strikers there. The question,
Di Maria is another one I forgot to mention. Amazing.
He will be more on the wing, but as you can see there, the coach has so much potential to choose from. He can't obviously play a 3-1-6 in attack with all those options. So there's going to have to be some crafty work done in order to field all those, and maybe even one or two may be left on the pine or even back home in Buenos Aires. So some very, very tough decisions. Argentina, though, Sergio Romero, the goalkeeper, has to get game time at Manchester United. If not, he has to leave. He has to somehow get some 90-minute games into him between now and June. He can't be just rotting away. And he's even called for it in the last few weeks, I've noticed. I don't know where he's going to go, but he might have a Tim Cahill-type situation where he just leaves in January, locks up a spot somewhere in a smaller club in Europe just to even get some game time ahead of Russia.
Absolutely. And Argentina, of course, in that group with Iceland, Nigeria and Croatia. You'd imagine they'll get through, but three very worthy opponents there. That Argentina-Iceland clash will be one for the ages. Just before we get to our final break for the day, some disappointing news in the fact that over 200 Russia thugs will be free to attend the 2018 World Cup. Not the news that I wanted to throw to the break, but
no.
That news has been confirmed with, obviously, these Russians were banned at the Euro 2016. I think there were clashes between them and some of the English fans. Not great to see that in their own country they will be allowed to enter the stadiums, but I'm sure that security measures will be put in place and it will be safe for fans from all over the world to attend what is undoubtedly, and trust me when I say this, the greatest event, sporting event, any event to attend on this wonderful planet. We're off to our final break for the day. On the other side of it, Rick brings you his thoughts, very, very passionate thoughts on the Italian national team later. Stick around, you don't want to miss it. A few minutes to go here on the Road to Russia on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia.
FNR Football Nation Radio. The Road to Russia with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Road to Russia for the final time this afternoon. Where has the hour gone? A very entertaining hour of World Cup action here on FNR. Rick, the floor is yours. You've asked for it. The floor is yours. Your first time into the studio for a Road to Russia show. Give us your take on the Italian debacle that was.
I wanted to throw a TV screen out the window. Let's just put it out that way. I was very, very, very shocked and angry at what Gian Piero Ventura decided to do with that team. I was really, really angry. Who plays a 3-5-2, decides to whip balls in 90 minutes against two tall people in defence that all they needed to do was just jump and clear the ball away? Matteo Darmian, Andrea Candreva, Marco Barolo, what on earth was he thinking? I was so angry. I just really wanted to throw that TV screen. We had no cut through. Lorenzo Insigne playing on the wrong side of the position that he was in. Why is he even an inside central midfielder? Why not throw him on the left wing? He would have been far better crossing that ball. Andrea Belotti, what was he doing? He barely could impact in the first 90 minutes. Why not bring back, as controversial as this might sound, Simone Zaza? He did only stuff up one penalty shot in the Euro 2016. Or even a Mario Balotelli. Provide some sort of X factor and some sort of spark. I feel so bad. And why did Ventura even try to bring on De Rossi in the final half an hour? Why? I have more questions than I have answers, and I really, really, really needed to get that off my chest. So thank you.
You are welcome. Well said. We're done for today. Italy won't be in the 2018 World Cup, but maybe if you join us for the road to Qatar in 5 years' time, we can discuss that then. Rick, thank you for joining us. Thanks to you. Sasha Pizzani, who joined us on the line to talk Socceroos as always. But for now, we're done. I'm back tomorrow from 1 p.m. with the Euro Show. We'll have the Champions League draw and plenty more to discuss and dissect then. This has been the Road to Russia with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio, your voice of football in Australia. Until next time, it's goodbye for now.
The Road to Russia with Adriano Del Monte on FNR Football Nation Radio.